AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Hello, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news as Manchester United sign a teenage wonder kid. We've signed a player from Colombia. His name is, I've forgotten it already. I did write it down. It's Orozco. It's Cristian Orozco. Let's go. It's Orozco. We'll talk about who he is in a moment. Also, look, I didn't realise we were going to do this morning, but I didn't realise we were going to sign a player this morning. I saw what Terry was talking about last night in relation to the midfielders that we've been linked to. Is it too late? You've got people like Ben Foster, my big friend Ben Foster, saying that Amorim almost inevitably facing the sack if he has one more good run. I want to talk about bad run. I want to talk about that as well. We've also been linked to another midfielder, which is apparently a load of rubbish, a Senegalese midfielder. I think his name is Dabo. I want to talk a bit about Sesko this morning because I've just got this. I want to be wrong about this, but I keep being told there's a chance that Sesko won't start against Brentford on Saturday lunchtime. We'll talk about that and a few other bits I want to talk to as well. Incredibly grateful for your patience across the channel the last couple of days. We've all been hit with stuff. Beth's not well now. Maud's is away. I've not been well. I'm a little bit late this morning. I suppose it's real life, isn't it? You know, apologies for that. It's not an excuse, but, I realise that it's not been the normal sort of pattern this week. So I appreciate your eternal patience as always. And thank you very much, everybody's tuning in or watching live or not watching live. It's impacted the career mode, by the way. I'm struggling to get one this week, maybe tomorrow, but we'll see how it goes. Right, let's get into what this new signing is first, because look, what I want to talk about is that, look, we've been here before. Like, it's great. And I'm not here to dismiss it, but look, Ben Jacobs has confirmed it. South American reports last night were hinting at it. Manchester United effectively are going to sign this lad called Cristian Orozco from Colombia for, we don't know what fee it is, but he's agreed a deal to sign for Manchester United. He's a wonder kid. His name's Cristian Orozco. He'll join the club when he turns 18 next year. He's currently 17. Man United have a preliminary agreement in place with his club, Fortaleza. And apparently he captains the team to the final of the South American championships. So, look, great. But honestly, I'm sort of at the point now where it was really exciting to sign Leon. And people were like, when we get Leon next summer, he's going to go straight in the team or at least be a backup. Where is Leon? You know, it's mid-September. He doesn't even get on the bench. So he's a player for the future. So I look at Orozco and I sort of like go, great. But as Jube says, we need players for the now. And as it says on the thumbnail, too late. How does this help Ruben Amorim, who hasn't been given a midfielder, who is under immense pressure, somewhat unfair pressure, somewhat justified pressure? How does signings like this help him? These are the sort of signings that have got patience written all over it, and that patience is something the media doesn't allow and some fans do not allow. So I look at it and I go, ooh, Orozco. Let's go, Orozco. Defensive midfielder. We need a defensive midfielder. He's a wonder kid from Colombia. Ooh, he's from South America. He's probably got that South American grit. He probably comes from a background, if we're being stereotypical, that's not that wealthy. So, you know, he's like the old school midfielders of Roy Keane and Paul Ince, that, you know, they get it. You know, they get that being a footballer is a privilege, and they get that playing for Man United is a dream, and they're going to come into that midfield and they're going to work their socks off and they're going to be full of passion and intensity and consistency. Oh, we're cooking. But then you go, he's 17. He's not coming till next year. By the time he comes here, we might have a new manager. If we haven't got a new manager, he'll still be under pressure. Will he throw him into the midfield? You know, is Maynou getting chances in the midfield, or are we picking a guy that's not a midfielder over Maynou? So your brain sort of goes, yay, this is great to sign a player like this. And it is, of course it is. But then your brain goes, hold on a minute. We've got a player called Mainoo, who most of us think are better than Bruno in the midfield. He's working his socks off in training, who's come through the youth setup, who has got the right attitude, and he can't even get in the team. So why would I get excited about... Well, I am excited, but why would I get optimistic about how that's going to impact Man United right here, right now? I wouldn't, because it's not. And why would I get excited about it impacting Man United next season? Well, it probably won't do. Look at Leon. And will Amrin even be here? So look, we have to be better at our scouting, and we have to be better at our scouting in South America. So this is another tick in the box, but it's long-term and we have to have a long-term plan. I'm not in any way, shape or form dismissing this and saying it's not good. It is good, but is it urgent? Is it needed? Is it? Yes, it is needed. Does it help us here and now? No, because as we saw with, and I know if you watched the 8 o'clock show last night, you probably saw this, but I think it was Mike McGrath reporting last night about how, where was it? I think it was, here we go. Yeah. Mike McGrath last night in The Telegraph, basically saying that Man United are ready to lead the way next summer in the race for holding midfielders, with the position expected to dominate the transfer market. Baleba, Wharton and Elliot Anderson are likely to be in high demand next year. And that's where I scream and shout and say, too late. It's too late to apologise. It's too late. And I think that's a cracking song, by the way, but I think it's a very relevant point. Like, on the one hand, we've got this immediacy of let's get rid of the manager, let's get rid of the manager. And on the other hand, we're like, next summer, we're going to buy midfielders. We're going to make a massive splash in the window next summer. And I'm like, we could have made a massive splash 3 weeks ago. Could have made, you know, we really, really could have done. And we didn't. And we need them now. We don't need them next summer. So, yeah, look, we've got to have future plans, but I do think we often focus too far in the future and not on the now. And I think that's my sort of concern about it, because you know what, I was down in London yesterday. I had a commitment that I had to go to for YouTube, and fortunately it was only 2 minutes talking on stage because I didn't feel particularly great. But I was talking on the way down to the person who drove me down, who was actually Portuguese, talking all about Amorim. And he made a great point. Shout out to Sergio, made a great point, because he said, look at Arteta, look at Arsenal. So look, what we're talking about here is, I think Ben Foster, I read the article this morning in the Manchester Evening News, has basically said that Amorim's one bad run of fixtures away from the sack. And I understand what Ben's saying, because when you sort of test the water around the media and around the fan base at the moment, it feels like Amorim is, you know, a couple of bad results away from the sack. But then we were having this conversation yesterday in the car, and I said, you know what surprises me though, is that when you get away from it all, you remove, and I've had to get away from it all for the last couple of days, obviously, when you take your head out of the, you know, the room for a moment, and you just think about it, and you go, 5 Premier League games, 2 wins, 1 draw, Fulham, we should have won, 2 losses, Arsenal, Man City. So we beat Burnley, we beat Chelsea, and we draw with Fulham. Better than we were doing last season, let's be honest. We lose to Man City, we lose to Arsenal. At the end of last season, Arsenal and Man City finished in the top 4 and we finished 15th. So by logic, Arsenal and Man City, I think we'd all agree, were better than us last season, yeah? Arsenal and Man City have spent more than us in the summer. So if they were better than us at the start of the summer, and they've spent more of it than us in the summer, and then they beat us in the opening 5 games, why are people moaning? Because they are. So why are they moaning? So better teams who spend more money beat us, and we're moaning, and almost at a point where before the Chelsea game, there was a frenzy to sack the manager. And I go, welcome to the problems of Manchester United. Welcome to the world of Manchester United. We are not as good as teams that have beaten us, and yet we have to sack our manager. And that's the crazy frenzy around Manchester United. And so when I read that, like, you know, Amorim's a couple of bad results away from the sack, I sort of go, why? Why is he? I mean, Mikel Arteta lost his first 3 games of the season. I think it was 2021. He just finished 8th. He lost his first 3 games of the season. Now, I guarantee Arteta out was a thing. I'm sure it was a thing. But because people are saying Grimsby in the chat, yeah, Grimsby pisses me off. I'll be honest with you, Fartini. Grimsby pisses me off.
I was talking to at the YouTube event last night, Alice Talks Football was there, and we were talking about how this week is a dead week because we're not in football. We're not in the tournament. And, you know, we messed Grimsby up. That has to fall on the manager. Of course it does. I'm not saying the manager hasn't made mistakes. I think picking Bruno Fernandes in the midfield is a mistake. But ultimately, Mikel Arteta lost his first three Premier League games of the season after finishing eighth. Now look at where they are. Three second places, an amazing squad, and a Champions League semi-final. Now, I know some of you would say, wow, you know, he hasn't won anything. There are Arsenal fans who want to sack Arteta because he's got... This line makes me laugh. He's got to win the league this year or the Champions League, otherwise he's not good enough. And you go, so he's got to win something that you haven't won for 21 years, the league, otherwise he gets the sack. Or he's got to win something you've never won in your history, otherwise he gets the sack. And this is what I mean. Welcome to the modern world of expectations. We should all have standards. We should all have expectations. But sometimes I think they get a little bit muddled up. Like, how can you demand Arteta wins the Champions League or he gets sacked when you've never won the Champions League or the European Cup in your whole fucking history? And, you know, I do look at Arsenal, and I might be the only person in the room here. If you offered me third place for the last 3 years and a Champions League semi-final, I would bite your hand off. I mean, I don't know why you would offer me that and let me bite your hand off. I've never understood that saying, but I would bite your hand off. I would love to United to have finished second three times and comes and Champions League semi-final. I'd love it. There'd be a frustration that we hadn't won one, but bloody hell. I'd swap that for the Carabao Cup and the FA Cup, 100%. Because what I grew up with Sir Alex Ferguson was, no matter what, every year we'll challenge for the title. We might not win it every year, but we'll challenge for the title. And Arsenal will do that again. They might not win it, but they, you know. So what I say is, like, I get the frustration, and that's why we have communities like this, because the conversation is allowed. It's not wrong. You know, you're not wrong to say, I don't agree with what he's doing with the goalkeeper. I don't agree with what he's doing with Mainu. I don't agree with what he's doing with Bruno, or don't agree with him starting Luke Shaw. All those things are valid points. We're not rocking all over the world, you know. We're not playing brilliant football. There is definitely room for improvement. But I also think the extremity of opinion, you know, sometimes when you take the head out of the room, is incredible. Like, as I said, Arteta lost his opening three games after finishing eighth. Look at where he is now. They could have sacked him. Look at where he is now. But more closer to home, Amorim is apparently on the verge of the sack. I mean, if he'd lost to Chelsea, by the way, if he'd lost to Chelsea on Saturday, I think this week would have been a momentous movement to sack the manager. But you could have looked at it and gone, I don't know how I would have felt if we'd lost to Chelsea. I don't know. Maybe I would have been going, you know, he's sacking himself. Maybe he needs to go. But when you logically break it down, if he'd lost to Chelsea, there is still the voice of reason that could say, you're playing Chelsea, Man City and Arsenal in your first five games. They all finished in the top four. They've all spent more than you, and they're all better than you already. Why is it the end of the world if you lose those games? Because logically, I would say, if you had £100 and if you get the bet wrong, you basically get thrown into a fishbowl with loads of sharks in it. Man United against Chelsea, where are you putting your £100? Based on the fact they're already better than you and they've spent better than you, you'd probably put it on Chelsea. The same with Arsenal, the same with Man City. So why is there this expectation that Man United losing to Man City, Chelsea and Arsenal means you've got to sack the manager? Well, we didn't lose to Chelsea either. But my point is, the expectation sometimes runs away from reality. We need patience. I don't even know if I've got patience, but where my patience runs out, to give you my opinion, is because I don't want to see Amorim sacked. I think some of the reaction around him is melodramatic, and I think some of it rolls over from last season, to be fair. Where I stand is, and I've said it to you so many times, if Amorim would take Bruno out of the midfield and pick Mainu and stick with Mainu and Ugarte, and it didn't work, I would be going, this is what fucking happens when you do not buy a midfielder. This is what happens when you've got a shit ownership. Look at Arsenal. Look at Chelsea. Look at Liverpool. Look at Newcastle. An ownership that wants to be good on the pitch. They've not bought him in midfield, and this is why we're struggling. And I would be saying that. Unfortunately, I can't say that, because although he wanted a midfielder, I still think he would pick Bruno next to him. And that's on the manager. That's my big problem. with Amrin at the moment is the midfield issue is huge, but he's also played a part in it by putting Bruno in there. So, you know, I would hold on to that one. If you're tuning a little bit late, I'm going to get into some of your comments, but essentially Manchester United have signed, I don't know why I've gone Scottish, Manchester United have signed, are signing a midfielder called Christian Arasco. Ben Jacobs has confirmed this morning. Ben Jacobs is on the show at 2 o'clock with Beth. Tune into that. Live preview tonight at 8 o'clock, by the way, for Brentford. We've been doing that the last couple of weeks. Love that. So Orozco is going to be turning 18 next year, and he will join Manchester United when he is 18. He's a defensive midfielder, wonder kid, coming in at Manchester United. But you know what I would also say about that? Very exciting, but we did this a year ago with Konate. So I don't look... This is another mic drop, right? When I look at that Manchester... I look at that Manchester United side, Gary, and it's hard to look at it because my trainers are so white. I can't see. But when I look at that Manchester United side, the last thing I think they need is another 17-year-old kid. I think they need men. They need a good big bunch of men around them, you know. And I don't mean that in that way. I mean, like, you know, experience. That's what we need. And that is what Man United need. I look at Cunha and Mbeumo and I think perfection. I think if we brought Donnarumma or Martinez in goal, perfection. I think if we put Gyökeres or Osimhen up front, perfection. That doesn't mean that Lemens won't work out. That doesn't mean that Sesko won't work out. But I think that United side is absolutely, absolutely crying out for the here and now, as Fartini said. We're absolutely crying out for the here and now. So Kone, Orozco, these players could be really good in the future, but this is a club that has no future. I know that's a horrible, horrible saying because everybody's got a future, but there is no tomorrow at Man United. There is only today and the past. We don't have a future at Man United. We're a weird football club. I think at Barcelona you have to live in the today, but you can plan for tomorrow. I certainly think you can do it by Munich and Liverpool now. But Manchester United, because of circumstances, we're nothing more than today and the past. The past weighs heavy and drags us back, and the today is all that matters. So all these future signings, Kone, Obi, I mean, it's gone very quiet around Kone and Obi at the moment, hasn't it? Obi, you know, is with the 21s, not on the bench anymore. Leon's not on the bench at the moment. Kone's obviously had his injury issues, but he ain't going to get anywhere near the first team. Kone's not going anywhere near the first team. Agate and Maina are sat on the bench. So these future signings are great, but, and I'm sure there'll be a load of people doing loads of clips and loads of stuff, but I'm sorry, my opinion is not going to get excited because it's not what we need right now. It's not going to happen right now. And even when he comes in, maybe next season, I don't think he goes straight in the team anyway. And next season doesn't matter. Brentford does. Sunderland does. And unfortunately, we left Amrin exposed because we didn't bring the midfielder in that we needed now. So I do like the idea of bringing these younger players in, but it's not like we didn't do it a year ago with Kone. Is he in the team yet? It's not like we didn't do it in the summer with Leon. Is he in the team yet? I mean, we might hit a wonder kid that ends up being like Fabregas, who goes straight into our team. And maybe he comes in before the end of the season. And maybe he goes straight into the team. And maybe he's, you know, he's the next Caicedo, Elliot Anderson, Enzo Fernandez combined into one. And he's the best player ever. And he plays for us for 10 years. And we've got a new Roy Keane. Maybe he is. But when I look at that United side, what we actually needed 2 months ago was Adam Wharton or Yeoman or maybe a Belieber. We needed that 2 months ago. Well, I suppose when you look at it, 2 months ago, when the window was actually open, we needed a midfielder. And that could have been Wharton or whoever, right? We needed it 2 months ago. We needed an experienced midfielder 2 months ago. I'm now meant to get excited about a 17-year-old that might not be here till next year. So 2 months ago, I could have had an experienced midfielder, but don't worry, we've got a wonder kid who will be here in a year's time. And I'm like, that's my issue. Too late. Too late. That's my issue. It's like, it's not that it's a bad signing. It's great. We've done a lot of these over the years. But 2 months ago, we should have bought an experienced midfielder. And in a year, you're bringing in another wonder kid. And that's sort of the way I look at it. We've got to bring those people in. We have to bring those people in. 100%. But we also have to be ready for the now. And that, you know, doesn't help us against Brentford, does it? I don't actually know why we haven't looked at that, to be fair. Lots to get into this morning. How are you feeling, Mark? Yeah, I'm not too bad. What about Harry Kane, Samuel? Oh, yeah. I'm going to get into your comments in a minute. There's a few super chats and I want to read some of your comments as well. With regards to Harry Kane, look, I'm doing the Bundesliga on That's Football. It's a nice little plug. Tomorrow night, we've got Bayern Munich against Werder Bremen. Live match on That's Football, 7:30 kickoff. So make sure you tune in for that. We'll have the normal watch along and then we'll have the live footage for England and Ireland. I've got this week's highlights of the Bundesliga going out at 5:00 today on That's Football as well. Harry Kane is unbelievable. Like, I slag Harry Kane off in an England shirt, but in a Spurs and Bayern Munich shirt, he's just world-class. I've always said Harry Kane's world-class. I think England don't use the right system for him. Bayern Munich, Spurs did. Harry Kane must not have a number 10 near him, and he must have two wide players that are wide forwards. So in a United side, if we'd bought Harry Kane, I would have said Rashford off the left. I don't know. Let's say Michael Olise off the right. And, you know, you need three midfielders, really. Not, you don't really want, Musiala is a bit of a 10. It could work with Bruno, to be fair. But he likes to, what I'm trying to say is the most important thing in a Harry Kane team is that you have a player, that two wide players that run behind him. It'd be brilliant at Liverpool, actually. It'd work really well at Liverpool. He needs wide players that run past him. Do we play in a system like that now? No, we need a striker that plays on the last man. It's going to press. You know, Harry Kane wouldn't even suit our system anymore. So Harry Kane would be, he'd probably score goals for anybody, but I don't think Harry Kane suits us now. And we've just spent nearly £70 million on Sesko. So I don't like, I don't see Harry Kane coming anywhere near Manchester United. But what you've got to say is he's bloody unbelievable. He's an unbelievable forward, but I don't see him coming to Manchester United. In fact, I see quite the opposite. I mean, I sort of hinted at this last week or maybe at the start of the week. And obviously the last couple of days, I've had lost time on my phone because I've just been, you know, lying in bed watching films. Watched Sicario again, very good film. But I've been messaging people a little bit as well. And yeah, there's a bit of a rumor going around. And I'm hoping it's just a rumor that Amorim is really wanting to get Cunha and Mount into the team on Saturday. Now, obviously, the team's not been picked yet. It's only Thursday morning. I think his press conference is tomorrow. But this sort of started off as a fear. I mentioned it on Monday. And actually, it's now sort of coming out a little bit that it might become a reality. So that reality would be Sesko doesn't even start against Fulham. And if he doesn't start against Fulham, I start to think this is going to be another... Look, you want your manager to do what your manager wants to do. Of course you do. But I don't like Bruno in the midfield and I'm not going to change my mind. I just hope I get proved wrong. And I don't think people actually understand that, by the way. When Bruno could have gone to Al Hilal in early June, we did a really good show. And there was a vote and I think like 75% wanted Bruno to go and 25% didn't, which was quite high. But I think the vast majority sort of came to the decision like I did, that if Bruno's going to play in the midfield, you take the 90 million. If Bruno's going to play as a number 10, you tell him to go forth and prosper. And effectively, I feel like with Bruno, that was a decision that Amorim made. And you've got to hold that against Amorim, or you've got to praise Amorim for it. Now, I want Amorim to do well. I really like Bruno, so I want to get proven wrong. But then I have my own experience, my own knowledge, and I'm like, this isn't going to work. This isn't going to work. And I keep saying it's not going to work. I don't like this more. I don't like it more than it's not going to work. But I want it to work. I want to get proven wrong because I'm not earning 100 grand a week like Amorim. So I want him to be right about that. And as I said at the start of the week, I was wrong about Dembélé. So, you know, that was something I was wrong about. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, I might be wrong in relation to Bruno in the midfield. Of course I might. So hopefully that won't be the case, but maybe I will. And, you know, maybe if Amorim starts Mount and Cunha and Mbeumo as a front three against Brentford, like he did against Fulham, will play some really, really good football and will win the game. So when the team comes out at 11 o'clock on Saturday and Sesko's on the bench and it's Mount and Mbeumo and Cunha, I expect there'll be a lot of people not very happy about it. But it doesn't mean we won't win the game, and it doesn't mean that Amrin won't be right. It'll just be disappointing in the needs that we have. So don't be surprised if Sesko's on the bench on Saturday, is what I'm saying. I'm hoping that's not going to be the case, but Amrin really likes Mount, and obviously he loves Cunha, so I think he might try and find a way of getting all three in, but let's wait and see. I mean, the thing is, I'm not convinced that Ruben Amorim wanted Sesko. I'm not convinced that that was the guy he wanted. In fact, I'm pretty sure it wasn't. And therefore, when you're moving down the list from plan A to plan D, you might look at plan D and go, I'd rather play Mount, you know? And that's not unjustifiable. Like, it isn't. I want to see Man United playing with a striker. And I think that the way Arteta has utilized, what's his name? Jokeres, basically get him in the team. And that's a very intelligent way of doing things. But I also think that we could have done that a little bit more with Sesko. You know, we've been a bit protective of his lack of fitness, and there's been certain games he hasn't started. But these two games are so important to win. It's that balancing act of, do you start him in this game? Do you start Sesko and, you know, try and get him to get goals? Or do you go with the players that you trust? And I think we saw last week, I wasn't particularly happy with the team that he picks, Casemiro, et cetera, Binda in goal. But just keep it in your head. I mean, we've got the preview tonight. We'll talk about it more then. But I do think there's potentially an opportunity where we see Mainoo, Cunha and Mbeumo play. I think he's going to go with the players that he trusts. And I'm not 100% sure he trusts Sesko at the moment. So let's wait and see. But I talk about these things in preparation. Like, you know, we spoke about it on Saturday that Binda was going to start in goal against Chelsea. And I said, the reason I'm talking about it now is because in the hour before the game, I don't want to spend my time stressed out about that because I need to focus on Man United winning. And we did beat Chelsea, but I'm just sort of preparing myself mentally for that. Mainoo, very, very quickly. Another story coming out about Mainoo working really, really hard. The Mirror talking about him wanting to go on loan in January. I mean, nothing major to add there. You know, I think ultimately the main thing is the transfer window is closed. Knowing people who know Mainoo and how he trains, there's never been any issue with that. He's certainly not a player that turns up late or doesn't put the work in. Amrin might look at him and go, I don't think you're as good as Casemiro. My point is, it's Amrin's opinion why Mainoo doesn't get picked. It's not application from Mainoo. It's not like, you know, it's not like he's not working hard. It's not like he didn't have a very good preseason. It's not like he's, you know, not putting the extra work in international breaks. Somebody told me if he'd have got that move in the final week of the window, he'd have gone to whatever club he'd have gone to, very, very fit, Napoli, whatever. He'd have been probably playing straight away. What's the issue with Mainoo and Amrin is just Amrin doesn't rate him enough to put him in the team at the moment. And not in a bad way. He does rate Mainoo, but at the moment, he doesn't see him as a starter. Another manager at another club might do, and there wouldn't be an issue with Mainoo's fitness or his application. So it's just not quite the right fit at the moment. So look, spoke about Xerxes about this on Monday. We mentioned it with Fredrickson as well. There's not a lot of games. We should have been playing this week. We're out of the Carabao Cup. We should be playing next week. We're not in Europe. There's only so many games, one game a week. They're all bloody cup finals. Brentford, Sunderland, in a normal season, you'd look at them and go, can we mix and match a little bit? We've got a European game next week. We've got a Carabao Cup game. You know, let's give Mainoo a bit of time. Let's give Xerxes a bit of time. We can't do that now, because if I start a team against Brentford that's got Xerxes and Mainoo in it and Lemens in it, people are going to be going, why are you making three changes? Why aren't you playing Mbeumo? Why aren't you playing Bruno? Why aren't you playing, you know, Binda? You know, whatever. Heaven at back. Why not playing? You know, why taking risks? Every game's a cup final, so it's difficult for these people to get their minutes at the moment. I mean, look, I'm not here to wish injury on anybody, and I certainly don't want to see a player of Bruno's capability and leadership losing, going out with injury. But I think probably the only way he's going to get any game time at the moment is that. you get 90 minutes a week. At what point do you take Bruno off to give Mainoo some time? But look, there is a, like the sands of time, there is a time egg timer like that, because I actually agree. If we hit January the 1st and Mainoo's minutes are low, he's got every right to say, you know, whatever about the World Cup, I'd love to go to the World Cup, but I actually want to play football. I haven't played football for 6 months. I want to play. So we have to monitor that one. But
Extra Value Meals are back. That means 10 tender, juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For a limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
As I said before, it's a day-by-day thing. You know, things can change very, very quickly in football. I think Harry Maguire is the prime example to anybody of how sometimes keeping your powder dry, working hard, football has a funny way of rewarding you. Harry Maguire, like, has been written off so many times, you know, nearly went to West Ham, only didn't go to West Ham because United wouldn't pay him what he was owed in wages. So the story goes. A lot of people were pissed off about that. You know, you should have gone, etc. He's back playing for Man United in England in a very short period of time, because suddenly, you know, your fifth choice centre-back, and then there's two or three injuries in your starting games. So things can open up for you. And sometimes it's best just to keep working hard, keep your head down, especially in that midfield. We've only got four midfielders for two spots. You know, Casemiro's actually suspended at the moment. So, you know, you're the third choice midfielder and one of them might come off. So you've just got to take your opportunity. And I think those opportunities will come. So you've got to be in the right mindset at the right time. And I'm sure Harry Maguire, being, you know, an English player especially, will be saying these things to Mainoo, or Mainoo will be speaking to Harry Maguire and he'll be saying, look, you've got a great future at the football club. You're only 20. You've just got to wait for the opportunity, as frustrating as it is, because it is frustrating. And I'm sure Harry Maguire used to sit on the bench looking at some of the centre-backs and go, I'm better than them. But you wait for your opportunity and then you take it. I've told you the story before, and on an amateur level, when I was playing for my school when I was like 15, we were a very good team, and I was on my work experience at Grantham Town Football Club. We had a friendly on the Thursday ahead of a cup game on the Saturday, and I said to the manager, I had a bit of an injury, and I was like, I'm going to come back and play on Thursday to show you that I'm fit, because I was struggling with shin splints. And he said, oh, don't worry about that. You don't need to worry about that. You know, you're on work experience. I said, no, I want to, because I wanted to prove I was fit. And anyway, he said, don't worry about it. Stay at your work experience. So I thought that meant I'll be starting on the Saturday. We're on the bloody bus to the match on the Saturday. And he says, you know, because of your shin splints, I'm just not going to risk it. We'll probably just give you, you know, sort of like the last half an hour or something like that. Bloody cup game. I'm like, fuming. And anyway, we start off and we concede two goals quite quickly, and I'm on within 15 minutes. And it's like, you know, I could have had a right moan in the bus. I could have called him all sorts of names. He had rubbish hair. His breath always smelt of coffee. But I didn't. I just kept my mouth shut. And I went, you know what? This is going to be a mistake. And as soon as it went 2-0, I was like, come on. And it worked out, you know? It doesn't always work out, but, you know, it did work out. Let's have a look at some of your comments. Alex says, I hope you're well. Mainoo should be coming on over Ugarte any day of the week for me. It's frustrating when our young talent falls down the order, but Amri might be seeing something we don't. Casemiro can't play on Saturday. We'll talk about this on the 8 o'clock show tonight. Thanks everyone who's tuning in. Please share the video and smash a like. You yourself said Rasmus being thrown in at the deep end was not the right thing, but now you want to do the same thing to Sesko as a single striker instead of slowly letting him settle down, coming from a different league, says Vedant. A good point, Vedant. In my opinion, maybe some people agree with you. My answer to that would be Rasmus came in from Atalanta in his breakthrough season and got stuck up front with Manchester United with no striker in a system that needed a striker, with no backup striker and no players to give him any service. So breakthrough season at Atalanta, straight into the United side, no backup striker, system needed a striker and no real service. I think that was a dangerous thing to do. Sesko comes into a team that's got Cunha and Mbeumo behind him. He's got massive experience. He's been playing in the Champions League for the last 4 years. And, you know, there are other options if we need it.
I think we've tried other options. I think by the middle of September, I would expect Sesko to be starting games, basically. That's my point. Kobe liked the clip of Ginge ringing you on Instagram, says MMA Takedown. Yeah, I saw that. I don't know which way to read that, but, you know. To be fair, you weren't wrong about Dembele. You're not Rain Man. No one could have predicted the path from Ambulance to Ballon d'Or, says Nick Pete. Yeah, look, but my point is, on Bruno in the midfield, I think Amrim could be sacking himself. I want to be wrong because I don't want Amrim to sack himself, and I like Bruno, but ultimately he's cost us a lot of goals in the midfield. On Dembele, I would put my hands up and say, I was wrong. We should have bought him. But then I look at it and go, was I wrong? If you put Dembele all those years ago at Man United, so was it 3 years ago we went for Dembele? If we'd gone for Dembele instead of Anthony, I mean, now it looks like an absolute stupid thing to say we should have gone for Dembele, of course. But if we'd brought Dembele into the Premier League, where it's more intense, maybe his legs wouldn't have dealt with it. Also, on top of that, if you bring him into Manchester United instead of PSG, where you're pretty much going to win every week, maybe we'd have sunk. Maybe we'd have a massive flop. So it's not always about, let's not buy that player because he's got injury problems and he's not the right player for Man United, but then he goes to PSG and wins the Ballon d'Or. Doesn't mean if he'd come to Man United, he wouldn't Ballon d'Or. We are a ruiner of players as well. So, but I would own that I made a mistake on that, but it doesn't necessarily mean in reality I did. Would you activate Harry Kane's release clause? Alex, we've spoken about that. I mean, I think Harry Kane would be a brilliant player, but I don't think he suits what United need. And to be honest with you, to activate his release clause, we'd be stupid because that money should be being spent on a proper goalkeeper or two midfielders, in my opinion. PZ says, if Amorim is dumb enough to allow the board to waste 60 million on a striker he doesn't want, then I don't know what to think of him, says PZ. Look, going back to the Sesko point, I think that sometimes take your head out of the room, go for a walk, leave your phone at home. Actually, don't leave your phone at home. Just put it in your pocket, because if you go for a walk and you fall down a hole, you need to ring someone and you'll be going, damn it, I've left my phone at home so I don't read any social media and now I fell down a hole and I'm trapped. So take your phone with you, but just don't look at your social media. And then start thinking about things like this. Do I blame Amorim if he doesn't start Sesko? Well, yeah, because I want to see Sesko start, but actually if he's fifth choice, I don't think Amorim's going to be there going, this is the player that I want, you know? Maybe he looks at Sesko and goes, not really what I wanted. I'll have to work with him on the training ground to get him to be what I want to be. I was at the YouTube event yesterday. There was loads and loads of brands there. I was speaking to people from Nike and, you know, all sorts of people from all around the world. And I was speaking to somebody, I won't tell you what brand they were from or anything like that, but I was speaking to somebody from Germany, and they, big fan of the Premier League, but watch a lot of German football. Frankfurt fan, and they were saying, I don't think Sesko is going to work with you. And I said, tell me more. And he said, good player, but doesn't score that many goals and don't think he suits the system you're trying to play him in. And I went, thanks for that. See you later. And I thought, you know, everyone's entitled to their opinion, but I said when we bought Sesko, I'm not. From what I've seen of Sesko, he doesn't strike me as this relentless runner who plays up front on his own, runs the channels, this, that, and the other. So maybe Amrim's took the advice of Favel, who has said, he's still very young, he's a fantastic talent, and he's going to be a brilliant player. And maybe Amrim's gone, okay, right, you've convinced me, but it's going to take time for me to build him into what I want to be. And in the meantime, I've got to go what I trust. Maybe it's just that, if he doesn't start Sesko on Saturday's game or whenever, it's because he's not where he wants him to be at the moment, because it's not actually the striker he wanted, in which case you can't moan about that because it wasn't his plan A, it wasn't his plan B. Remember, Delap was plan A, Gyökeres was plan B, Ekotike was plan C, Watkins we went for before Sesko as well, and maybe Osimhen. So we were down the list. I like Sesko, but it's a little bit like all these people saying sack Amorim, when ultimately he'd lost to Arsenal and Man City, who were better than us at the end of last season and spent more of us in the summer. So, of course, you know, logically, surely they do beat us. And I would always also keep it in your head. Arteta finished eighth and lost his first three games of the season the following season. And look at what's happening. But I don't know. If I could buy Amorim a year,
I'd do it. If somebody said to me, you can fast forward a year and Amrim's still here, do you want to press the button? I'd say, I don't really want to lose a year of my life, but you know, in a way, can we just live the next 12 months? But I know he's not going to get sacked. Yeah, of course you can. Better idea. Thanks. Because I don't want to go forward in 12 months and then someone says, you know, the wife's left me or something like that. I'll try and stop that. I would love to be able to just say, Amrim's not getting sacked for the next 12 months. And only you know it. Like, don't let Amrim know because he might not work hard, you know? Bruno, I just think that the road less traveled has to be walked. And I'll be very, very fair here. Somebody said you can go back to Mourinho being in charge and give him another 12 months, I would do it. If somebody said you can go back to Ten Hag last year and give him 12 months, I would do it. If somebody said you can go back to Oli, no, actually, no, I wouldn't. Mourinho and Ten Hag, I would give another 12 months. Moyes, fuck off. Van Gaal, no chance. Oli, I'd had enough. But Mourinho and Ten Hag, I would give another 12 months if I could. So I'd definitely give Amrim another 12 months. Not even have bloody 12 months. Bruno's missed penalty against Fulham. Costa's got us to Amrim out. It's attrition. Yeah, and not marking Smith Rowe as well. Hi, Mark. It was my birthday on Tuesday. Thank you for what you do. Fancy a pro clubs match against Sticky Banter. I haven't even got my pro clubs player going yet, but I do want to do that. I was planning on doing that on Tuesday when I wasn't well, but I just couldn't get it up. The hands and the controller, so couldn't get anything up. So I just watched Sicario. Morning, Mark. Hope you're feeling better. I've had the illness as well and just starting to recover. Just like yesterday, I felt really good. Tuesday, obviously, I felt shit, but I did the Tuesday night show. Today I'm sort of back on full duties, but it's just like, it's up and down, like with the energy levels. Patrick Lynch is going to be up here with the voice of reason. He says the recruitment strategy of the club obviously goes beyond Amrim. Getting these young players suggests this. As fans that want the team to do well now, that's frustrating. It makes wonder how Ineos and Amrim view his role. Yeah, I think you're right. I think there is this long-term strategy and then there's this short term, let's not do anything. So let's buy a midfielder that might be good in 3 years. Let's not buy a midfielder that we desperately need now. And that's sort of where I'm with you, Patrick. I'm sort of like, I'm confused. So we're buying a lad from Colombia that's not going to come till next year and might be good in 3 years. And yet 2 months ago, we didn't buy a midfielder we bloody need now. And that sort of logic doesn't make sense. Well done for the recruitment of young, talented players. What the fuck are you doing about now? You know, and it's that contradiction. And I think that's where PR and spin lives, because you make a big deal about, oh, look at what we've done here. And you sort of like, what about here? And look, going back to the striker situation, we mustn't forget, as much as I'm excited about Sesko, and I know you are, he was fifth choice. As much as we want Lemens to do well, he's a backup goalkeeper who was bought on the final day of the window. We fucked up on the goalkeeper and we fucked up on the midfield. And we potentially booked up on the striker. Like, the only two signings that you can say were really good was Mbeumo and Cunha. Like, I wouldn't argue about that. I mean, maybe we overpaid, but they were good signings. The others, I think you would always, if you wanted to, find an issue with them and go, well, he wasn't even in the top three choices. He's not even playing and he's a backup. And we didn't get that. I look at teams like Arsenal and Liverpool, and I mean, all right, Liverpool might go with, they wanted Getty and they didn't get him on the final day, but bloody hell, you know, they did, you know, Arsenal did good business, Chelsea did good business, Man City, Newcastle did good business in the end. You know, they covered off a lot of areas. I think this is going to be Bruno's last season at the club, which will only be a good thing for our midfield, says Arch. Welcome back, Mark, says Sadiq. Thank you very much. Good to be back. The King is back. Hope you're well, Mark, says Evan. Thank you, mate. I'm getting there. Mr. Jam says, I just started reading that book, Storybook Football, The Rebuild. It's really deep and captivating. I think you need to read it as well. Loving you and your managerial. I need to write this down. Have you wrote the book, Mr. Jams? Because you're either very good at promoting something. I've never even heard of this. And how do they get to use me without asking? The Rebuild. Let's have a look at this. If you want to buy a book, by the way, fantastic book. I was reading it while I was ill. Football according to Mark Goldbridge. Very good on Amazon. Alex Hornby says, hope you're well. Mainly should be coming on over Ugarte. I've done that one as well. Right, let me just make sure I've covered off a bit. We were actually linked to another midfielder. I've just got a little bit of other stuff to talk to you about. So the Sun gone downhill. I mean, it was already... it's very difficult for the sun to go downhill because the sun is the equivalent of the bottom of the hill. But with Luckhurst there, it goes down even further. He's desperate for clicks and views. I mean, I think going to the sun and trying to get credibility is like a guy who stinks of shit getting a camel to shit on his head. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. But Manchester United were offered the chance to sign Conor Gallagher in the summer, but the club felt midfield wasn't a priority as they had already had enough first-time midfielders. This is a story in the sun, and yet credible people like Fabrizio and others will say Man United tried to go for Conor Gallagher, but they wouldn't let him go. Manchester United tried to go for Belaba, but he was too expensive. So that's not true, is it? It's not true that Man United decided not to go for midfielders because they had enough. They tried to go for players and didn't get them. 17-year-old Mohamed Dabu, close to joining Man United after a successful trial at the club. He was won over the club's management with his raw talent and maturity. That was a story coming out from Africa. But apparently, according to the Manchester Evening News, that's not actually true. Reports claiming Man United are close to an agreement for Dabu are not true. He's Senegalese, so that's not true, apparently. But Christian Orozco is. That is true. 17-year-old becoming to Man United when he's 18. Quite similar to what happened with Leon. Story about Sancho potentially going on a permanent move to Villa. I mean, things just go from bad to worse for Villa, don't they? They really do. Mainly was prepared to leave United in January if he doesn't get regular football. Well, I don't even think that's not, yeah, you'd expect that to be true anyway, wouldn't you? Okay, I think I'm on Terry's channel at 11. I just need to double check because he hasn't even messaged me about it. But Football Terrace at 11 o'clock, if you want to check out if that's there. I haven't been able to check my messages because I'm live. But thanks everyone for tuning in. Make sure you smash a like on the video. We're back at 2 o'clock with Ben Jacobs and Beth. And then 8 o'clock tonight, a live preview again. Love doing the preview. So we'll be previewing Brentford and all the news on the 8 o'clock show. We're back tonight and that's me. Thanks everyone for watching this morning. Make sure you smash a like and subscribe. I'll speak to you on the next one. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. And thanks for bearing with us the last few days as well. I know it's a bit of a challenge. We've had a few challenges behind the scenes. I think we're pushing through that now. So thanks everyone for watching. Take care. I'll speak to you on it. And I'm on That's Football at about 5 o'clock today doing the Bundesliga show. So all the goals, all the highlights, all the stories ahead of the weekend. Take care. Speak to you in a bit.